preaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace. You join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon for a time of rightly dividing the word of truth.
Well, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. We're continuing our study today of John the Baptist, his witness, what he confessed about Jesus Christ, as we open that up in John's Gospel chapter 1. And remember, the main purpose of John's Gospel, all these things are written so that you, listener, might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that you might understand who he is, that he is truly human and fully divine, truly human, truly divine. And this burden of John is that we understand that our salvation is complete because he is the God-man, because he is true God. And because he has the power and ability to satisfy all the demands of the divine justice to set us free from our sins and to give us life and righteousness through his life and blood. That is the point here. And John is advancing and moving to the heart of the gospel, but at the beginning of the gospel, advancing the witness of that. How do we know that witness is true about Jesus? Because there are a lot of claims out there today. There are a lot of religions saying that their way is their way, and there's all these different ways. But the exclusive claim of Christianity is there's one way. It's a narrowly defined way, and it is through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So here we're looking at the character of John the Baptist to validate that witness, because there's nobody like him. He was the greatest born to women, and yet look at his character. John wouldn't take the status of being the Christ or Elijah or the prophet. And the Jewish leaders want to know who John the Baptist is. So John the Baptist answers. John the Baptist answers in verse 23 of John chapter 1 by saying, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord," as the prophet Isaiah said. The voice. The voice. Now, John applies this statement as the fulfillment of Isaiah 40. I want to read Isaiah 40 with you this morning on the radio, that you understand how beautiful and just what John is saying at the beginning of John's gospel. This is Isaiah 40, verse 1. "Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness." Here it is. "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem. You who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young." So what was the voice to do? What was John the Baptist sent to do? It was to cry out, my friends, in the barren wilderness. And did you notice that verse 6 says, the voice asks, what do I cry? All flesh is as grass. In other words, you're all perishing, listeners. Radio listeners, you're all perishing, the Bible says. You're all wasting away, and you will be dead soon. That's what the voice was to cry out. Your life is but a mist. You are here as a flower and gone tomorrow. You're perishing and you're going to suffer for your sins. But there's good tidings. There's good news. Repent. Believe. Notice the voice was to present who? Verse 10, behold your God. John the Baptist was to say, behold your God. Doesn't he do that in John 1 verse 29? After warning of the judgment to come, all flesh is as grass. The next day, when John saw Jesus coming toward him, he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Bring glad tidings, O voice. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God is coming with a strong hand, and he's going to reward. He will be the shepherd of his flock. He will work for their salvation. He will feed them. Who are you, John? The Pharisees wanted to know. I'm only the voice. My friends, this is the heart of everything I want to say to you this week on Abounding Grace. This is the heart of what John's gospel is saying to us. It is so important to note here how we gauge the truthfulness of the one who speaks to you, to test the validity of his witness. What is his role and what is his message? You see, this same John would say in 1 John, many false prophets have gone out into the world. Where do you think they are? Well, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11 that Satan has ministers who fill pulpits. So they're all over the place. They're in Christian pulpits all throughout this land, and it's quite possible you're sitting under one. So the question then is, how do you know? And if you are called to test the spirits, if you have a responsibility to test the spirits, to see if they're from God, how do you know? How do you gauge that? This is what's being shown to you today. How you gauge the truthfulness of the one who speaks to you. To test the validity of his witness. What is his role? What is his message? Look at John the Baptist. John says, I'm just the voice. Here's the great error in the church today, my friends. This is so serious. Many pastors love to put themselves in the position of Jesus Christ to receive the glory. In fact, Jesus warned of this in Matthew chapter 24 as the great deception. If anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, and there, don't believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I've told you beforehand. This is the characteristic of the spirit of the Antichrist, which John says is already among us. There is so much power in the position of a pastor. You can't even describe it. The pressure to make oneself great is immense. And there are a lot of men in Christian pulpits who love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And that, my friends, is the essence of the great apostasy. When one exalts himself, as 2 Thessalonians 2 said, over all that's called God or that's worshiped, so that he sits. It's interesting, isn't it? As God in the temple of God, showing himself to be God. He's the one with all the answers. He's the focal point of the church. He's the one everyone's talking about. He's the one that runs the show, right? And you see, some love the status of a great prophet. You know, it's interesting here in John 1. The greatest, Jesus says, of those born to women, John the Baptist, wouldn't even take the status of Elijah. Though he fulfilled that role, yet today in Christianity, we are obsessed with a kind of stardom in the pulpit. We are obsessed with the stardom. We praise men's speaking abilities. We're in awe with their capabilities to tell us good stories. It's all programmed, by the way. But they've got it all down to a T. We're worried about how they relate, how practical they are, what they look like. And we are enamored with those who can deliver a message in such a way that just captivates us. And you know, rarely do we hear the burden of John's heart, John the Baptist's heart. He must increase and I must decrease. You see, that's the truth of what John the Baptist says when he says, "I'm not worthy to loose the straps on his sandal." He's saying, "I'm not even better than a slave," because that's what they did for noblemen in those days. "I'm not even worthy for that. The greatest of those born to women," says Jesus, his witness was, "I'm not even worthy to touch his shoes." Now, that's one way of validating what you're hearing. John the Apostle is saying, you know, the witness of John the Baptist concerning Jesus is true, because the natural tendency of men is to love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Powerful preachers love praise and weak sheep follow. And in this country, we are obsessed with the Hollywood pulpit. I love to call it that. The Hollywood pulpit. We have them dressed up. We have them on their bar stools. We have them so relaxed, and they are the focal point of the church with all the manipulation. They'll show you a picture of an impoverished third world country to draw you in, and they will lure you in, and they are the focus because they have the answers. Don't ever follow a man. I can't say that emphatically enough on Abounding Grace. Don't ever become caught up in a man. You know, this is why I say there is a reason for a pulpit, because the pulpit should cover the man and let the word of God sit in front of all the people so that that's what they see. It's my prayer that when anyone comes into the URC here in Linden, they don't even see me, that they are so enraptured and caught up in the message. Because what is the man? "The greatest of all born of women," said Jesus, "of the prophets, John the Baptist said, 'I'm only a voice crying out in the barren wilderness where there is no water.'" The voice dies, my friends. The man dies. But Isaiah 40 says, which John points to, the word of our Lord endures forever. The message continues on. And I see this all the time. When you are so caught up in a man, you are setting yourself up for mass failure. You're starving your soul, and you're being carried away. John declared that his mission in life was to get sinners to listen to the God-given message. For what purpose? That they might behold the Lamb of God. That they might have their affections and their hearts set on Jesus Christ. That is what Isaiah 40 said. "Cry out, they're all perishing. They've received double for their sin, but say, 'Behold your God. He will feed you in the wilderness.'" John presents the Lamb. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This is what he came to do. Meet the Son of God. John was sent before to prepare the way for him. And in a sense, my friends, every time the word is preached, the way is prepared. That is why preaching must be authoritative, confrontive about your life, exposing of your sin, hard-hitting, all driving to the grand announcement, "Behold God in the face of Jesus Christ, who is the divine Son of God. He will repair. He will feed the weary. He will bind up the brokenhearted in the wilderness." So what are you hearing? The minister should make you so uncomfortable about your sin that you don't even like the minister. And at the end of the day, your affections and heart are turned to Jesus as he shows you him, as he preaches him. Is that who you're hearing? Behold the Lamb of God. Abounding Grace Radio was brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times. You can visit us on the web at www.lindenurc.com. Many resources there for you to get to know us, who we are, and what we believe. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.